Good morning, Big Town Men. What a fucking great day. That's the lazy cunt. Just having an imaginary conversation with someone who I had sort of near dealings with. Yeah, what an exciting day. I had a hamburger with a lot, and some people like some things some ways, and some people like other things other ways. It doesn't mean that I'm right and they're wrong. You know? You know? It's like that shit called beef tea. You know, you get a bit of meat. And I find that if you put a lot of bones in it, you know what I mean? Fresh bones. Without much meat and cook it on a real slow, like tiny little bubbles every now and then type simmer. And you leave, put it on at say 10 o'clock in the night. If you put on at 10 o'clock at night, by the time 8 o'clock in the morning comes around, you know, you got a big pot of meaty soup and you just like, you know, add whatever you fucking want. That's basically the idea. You know, and then you can add some freshly sliced or chopped onions and a little bit of garlic, a little bit of salt and pepper. You know, whatever takes your fancy. And it doesn't have to be too strong or radical or extreme. But the main thing is to have all the sort of gelatin dissolve out of the bones and all the bloody sinews and stuff, you know. And fuck it, gives you an appetite. You know, I'm finding as I'm getting older, just a sort of desire to move away from the drug culture and people saying smoke marijuana and got the munchies, you know. But that's actually sort of, you know, part and parcel of life, some of my experiences, you know. But, you know, changing the vocabulary to something more sort of interesting than, you know, getting stoned and smoking weed. Or smoking weed and getting stoned and, you know, getting the munchies, you know, just eating shit, you know, and what I've changed it over to is that, you know, calling beef tea an appetite stimulant. You know, an appetite stimulator. Because you might think, oh, I might go, oh, kind of a little bit hungry, but not sort of really hungry enough to give a fuck, you know what I mean, to want and go do something about it. Well, that's something I did, is I took a bench grinder to that fucking, not a bench grinder, an angle grinder with a cutting disc to take that fucking head of that bolt down, because like this side of it, I'll try and spin it around, this side of it, the head, gotta watch for traffic, the head of it was always catching on the clothes, you know what I mean, the fabric would sort of bunch up and drag and rip holes in it. But by sort of rounding that over, it's still got a bit of a flared edge on it, you know what I mean? It's not real sharp, and the general profile is below the sort of the fucking within the sort of recess, so it's basically it's not catching on my clothes anymore. But yeah, it's one of those things, if you do it really fucking well, there's a difference between a master and someone who just does it, you know. And given that it was, I think it was dark when I did it, I could actually, I was actually going to get a little hammer, ballpoint hammer, and handle it, and shave down the fucking edges of the burr, you know, and round it over, so to speak. But having said that, I might actually get the cutting disc and just shave it off just a tad over. What's the word? Just a tad over height. No, I can't do that, because otherwise I'll never be able to get it off. Or I can cut it, but I might not want to cut it and ruin the bolt, you know what I mean? That's the remainder of the fucking head, which just has enough. If the other screw is completely sort of loosened, or loosened off a bit, there's enough engagement for an Allen key on that head. So that's why I didn't take it down fucking flat with the surface. And if it was taken down flat with the surface, this side would fucking pull off, you know? So I'll go get my little ball peen hammer, and just knock those flared, just round those flared fucking edges over, or those burred edges over. So yeah, what was I thinking? There you go. Go on floor it, shit for brains. No fucking rush. Back to the fucking vocabulary. Yeah. Calling beef tea an appetizer. An appetite stimulator, you know? Because you might wake up in the morning going, kind of hungry, but can't be fucked doing anything about it, you know what I mean? Not hungry enough. And having, you know, a nice big cup of fucking beef tea, fuck me. One of those, and it's like, you know, it depends on the person. I can't say it works for everybody, but one good cup of that, you know, and it's like, fuck, that was good. And then you go, fuck, I'm so hungry. And there might be another litre or two in the pot, you know, or three, you know. And Yeah. So, you know, and by the time you drink 1 or 2 litres of this stuff, it's like, fuck. You know, you're just so hungry. Want to eat the leg off a fucking table, you know? Want to chew the leg off a fucking table. That's fantastic. So I don't think anybody, there's all, you know, there's people doing the either copy, I don't know who's done what first or when, but you know, the guy who did the Eating with History channel, he's the first one I noticed. But you know, and one of the things no one else has brought up aside from myself is that the Victorian beef tea wasn't so much, you know, wasn't brought in for its extremely marginal fucking nutritional value. It's brought in because it makes you fucking hungry. And for people who are just sort of lying there, hardly eating anything, it just makes them fucking eat. You know, you have, you know, 2 or 3 cups of this shit and you just go, fuck. You know, a nice big thing of some roast meat and some Brussels sprouts, you know, and some cabbage and some fucking potatoes and all this other sort of stuff. You know? It just throws sort of switches in your brain and your gut. It says, fuck, that was good. God, I'm fucking hungry. Oh, you know. So anyway, I had an exciting day, talked to lots of interesting people. And yeah. I've got some work to do. Which is good. Which is real good. And anyway, I stopped at a takeaway shop and had one of their hamburgers with the lot, which is the superfood of the nation. It's why, you know, you know why Australians never brag about having 12-inch cocks that are as thick as baseball bats? The answer is because we don't have to. And anyway, so this fucking hamburger with a lot, that was good, and it was a little bit different, you know, and it wasn't bad, it's just different, you know, and I myself would prefer something akin to more what I think is a really good fucking hamburger with a lot, because that's just the way I am. Whereas this is really good sort of fast. And instead of having one big thick fucking burger, you made 2 little really thin patties that cook really fucking fast, and you had a hot grill or hot bloody pan, you know, so you know there's merit to his stuff, you know, and I was trying to identify the sources? And I said, I reckon there must be like two or three different sources on that. What are they? Because I couldn't quite pick one, you know? I couldn't quite pick what was in it. And one was fucking mayonnaise and the other one was tomato sauce, you know? He said, I stick it on the bottom because it helps the lettuce to stick to the buns. You know, so there's just, it's not according to my own tastes, it's not the kind of hamburger I'd want to buy, and it's not the sort of hamburger I'd want to cook, you know, but it was a pretty good hamburger, you know, it's tasty, it fills the guts, keeps you going, you know. So that was good, you know. I got to try different things made by different people. And, yeah. And when you mix with smart people, you become smarter. If you rub shoulders with people who, they can be your friends, they can be your enemies, fuck whatever. You know? You know, but you learn from them. So learn to appreciate them and be grateful for them. And it's part of this sort of cultural philosophy where it's said, oh, I learn more from my mistakes than I ever did from my fucking, you know, my successes. And I'm thinking, why are you so fucking stupid? Why do you sit around, you know, spouting cliches as if they're monumental fucking pieces of wisdom, you know? Now, when I say that, yeah, mistakes, we all make them. Some are relatively trivial, minor, and some are damn right fucking horrors, you know what I mean? You know, some things are so bad, you can't recover from them or you die, you know. Or some other fucking living, breathing fucking horror, you know. Or somewhere in between, you know. So, but on the whole, I'd rather be sort of acknowledging all my successes and having lots of successes rather than I would, you know, all these fucking having monumental fuck-ups because, you know, I'm too stupid to fucking, you know, do any better. What's interesting, he's going off the road. And I don't know if you noticed it, but I was chewing away on a bit of meat this morning and fucking crack. And what I thought was a perfectly, you know, I took a bit of fucking round and I'll get a mirror and have a look at it. There's something jammed between, like if he's got a gap between the teeth and something like a fucking nut, like an almond or something, or a bit of bone or something will jam between the gap, you know, and you've actually got to pry it out, you know. Well, I was poking at this fucking gap here, the new gap, I didn't realise it was a gap, but it felt like there was a bit of bone stuck between the fucking two, you know? Like as if there was a gap there, you know? And I sort of went to try and sort of dig it out and wouldn't move. So I thought, oh, fuck this, get a mirror. And yeah, what happened was I found my fucking teeth had broken off. Broken off clean. So in amongst all the sort of, you know, hubbub of the event, hubbub of the day, was, you know, I got it organised to get it, get a dentist on short notice for some emergency sort of treatment, because I thought this is not bad now, there's basically sort of no pain, but it has that awful look about it, like it feels like, you know, if I have to wait 4 or 5 days before I can get a dentist, it feels like it's going to be fucking festering by then, and it feels like it's going to get really bad, you know. And when I lose things, I can lose them for years. And what happened is after being missing for about a year and a half, 2 years, I found my fucking reading glasses. And they're just as good as they were 30 something years ago, you know, 33 years ago. They're really good. And they're still fine, you know, everything sort of matches. But what I want is, instead of, you know, facing the fucking nose, not exactly, you know, like that sort of reading distance, what I want is a focal length that's about the length of my fucking arm, you know what I mean? Because that's how far I sit away from the fucking computer screen, you know? You know, just arm's length. So I'm getting my reading glasses changed to possibly from 1.5 to maybe 1.75, and a focal length of about a meter, or about, you know, one arm's length, you know. So that's good. So while I was umming and ahhing and waiting for things to occur and things to get back to me and all this other sort of shit, yeah, so while I was waiting for that, I got all this other stuff organised, which was really good. And one of the things came out is that with the reading glasses, they're in basically as new condition after 34 years, is because I never fucking use them. Fuck. But they got lenses on them, they got frames, and they're like really good, close fitting to the skin type close fitting around there, you know, touching your face sort of stuff. They're a very good fit, which makes them excellent safety glasses, you know, for sparks and shit taken. You can read, you can look at what you're doing. And not get sparks from the angle grinder if you have to do fine detail work, you know. And with glasses, you know, you make, I figure shit out to say, well, why does everybody do them this way? And then they end up with all these fine scratches on them and shit. So what I figured was that, you know, you wash them down with soapy water and then just wash all the fucking grit off, and then you get them, say, something soft and like a shaving brush. A shaving brush and a bar of soap, and then you clean the lenses very, very softly, both sides, and then wash that off. And after it's all truly clean, and you polish them off with a silicon kind of wax, which helps repel dirt and dust and grit and stuff, you know. So yeah. So these dentist, I won't say dentist cunts, but when I was young, people used to say, oh, you've got such lovely teeth, you really need to look after those. And the last time I went to a dentist was because my fucking tooth had cracked, it broke into two sort of vertically. That one up there, or might have been the other one the other side. And they looked through my mouth and they said, all your all your teeth are cracked. So, you know, I might see if I can get all my fucking teeth pulled, you know. I wish not. I wish it didn't happen, but, you know, it's part and parcel. Kind of how you look after yourself, and part and parcel, kind of aging, you know. It's been a good day. So I might go online and get a couple of things I've been needing to get, and pick and arranging a few things, and yeah. I've got so much to do. Such a nice drive, though. A good thing when, you know, you move over, you know, you're just travelling slowly, sitting 60 k's an hour, you know, on a 100 k an hour highway. And people who drive trucks, they get to know you and they pass the messages on and stuff, you know. So I'm sort of sitting here watching them come up in behind me in the mirrors, and I go, well, if I get out of their way, they could sail just straight past without any complications, you know. There's enough room to easily make it. So I'll just pull off the road and let them go through, and they say thank you. They turn the blinker on one way and then the blinker's on the other way, saying thanks for that, you know what I mean? Because it means they didn't have to slow down and then speed up again, and it's just a better way to do things, you know? I can't be fuck going slow. Well, there's days when I'm tired and I've travelled away, you know what I mean? I'm just thinking, yeah, I got 3 hours sleep this morning. Got a heap of stuff done. Having a conversation with someone who's not there, or several people actually, just thinking things through. How to discuss things with people who just don't get it. There's a song by Jethro Tull. And it's called Thick as a Brick. And it goes, and the wise man, and fear heals, and your sunburn does rapidly, fear heal, and the wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick. And you're sort of trying to figure out how to explain to someone that things that they just don't get. That's like dyslexia, dyslexia. Kind of, you know. Yeah, so when I get home, I've got to tap. Got to tap round the fucking edges of that coach bolt over. I know. I'll get a biscuit. I'll get something. All right, traffic's coming up, guys.
Really don't mind if you sit this one out. My words but a whisper, your deafness a shout. I may make you feel that I can't make you think. Your sperm's in the gutter, your love's in the sink. So you ride yourselves over the fields, and you make all your animals deals, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick. Sandcastle virtues are all swept away in the tidal destruction, the moral malaise, the elastic retreat rings the close of play as the last wave uncovers the newfangled way. But your new shoes are worn at the heels, and your suntan is rapidly peeling, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick. And the love that I feel, it's so far away. I'm a bad dream that I just had today. And you shake your head and said it's a shame. Spin me back down the years and the days of my youth. Draw the lace and black curtains and shut out the whole truth. Spin me down the long ages, let them sing the song. So you ride yourselves over the fields, and you make all your animal deals, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick.